The maker of the world's biggest passenger aircraft says Brexit is clipping its wings. This is the Marketplace Morning Report live from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. Aviation giant Airbus has a stern warning today. If the UK leaves the European Union without a deal next May, the company will be forced to reconsider its long-term investment in the country. The BBC's Rob Young explains.
Airbus is frustrated with the lack of progress and says a failure to agree a transition period could be catastrophic for the company. The aircraft maker's parts cross the English Channel multiple times. Airbus estimated could take a financial hit of more than $1 billion a week if there's no deal. The company, which is partly owned by several European governments, says Airbus would then have to reconsider its investments in the UK. Tom Williams is the company's chief operating officer.
I think we've become increasingly frustrated with the lack of clarity. We're already beginning to press the button on our crisis actions. And clearly the challenge with this is not a one-off decision. It will be a series of significant decisions that will accumulate as we go over the next couple of months.
6,000 people work at the Airbus wing factory at Broughton in North Wales. The Welsh government has said the company's comments are extremely worrying. But the UK government says, given the progress it's continuing to make in the Brexit negotiations, it doesn't expect what it calls a no-deal scenario to arise.
Rob Young, let's do the numbers. Global stocks are mixed. OPEC leaders meet in Vienna today to hash out increasing production by about 1 million barrels per day. Iran has been opposed, but according to reports, Venezuela says there is support among all participating countries. Now, on Sunday, Turkey goes to the polls amid a rocky economic landscape. President Recep Tayyip Erdogan has opposed raising interest rates, but economists say Turkey's economy is growing too fast. The BBC's Ed Butler reports.
This has been a snap election. No one was ready for it. Called early by President Erdogan to wrong-foot his opponents, and perhaps, some analysts reckon, because the country's currency has hit a bit of a rocky patch.
Business is not as good as it should be right now. We see the signs of the economic crisis more and more in recent months.
That downbeat assessment comes from local bar owner Sired, who gave me his verdict on the economy.
We see the effect of the inflation. The wages of the people are not rising, but prices are going up. Now taxes in Turkey are increasing. They are putting new taxes automatically every 6 months in Turkey.
Erdem Timur, founder and chief executive of real estate construction company NEF, isn't quite as pessimistic as all that. He is a standout winner, after all, in the country's recent construction boom.
We are lucky because there's no replacing product, so minimum 800,000 units because of the population.
Because there are more and more people, yes, you are having to build more and more homes.
Yes.
Do you fear the fact that the Turkish lira is going down in value?
Yes, because it affects cost. There will be a lot of bankruptcies.
So who is going to win this election? Well, given the country's economic problems, it really does seem a wide-open contest. Opinion polls suggest that close to half of the Turkish electorate are going to cast their vote for the president ahead of any of his rivals. But pollsters also reckon he's going to struggle to win an overall majority in parliament.
Ed Butler. Is your boss's bark worse than his bite? The BBC's Victoria Craig has been exploring a possible solution to work-related stress.
That's Ricardo, my 60-ish pound, 6-year-old greyhound mix. He says hi. Few things are more comforting than a pair of big brown eyes eagerly and excitedly staring up at me. So it got me thinking, what would it be like to take my boy to the office for Britain's annual Take Your Dog to Work Day? What would my coworkers say?
I think we should all have dogs in the office. I think it would make everyone feel a bit more positive, calmer. No, I wouldn't like to have dogs in the office. I don't particularly like dogs at all, actually.
Clearly, it's mixed reviews from my BBC colleagues. But there are many companies with dog-friendly policies, and they're not small startups. They're names you know, like Amazon, Google, and Airbnb. Also on that list is Nestle. I decided to pay a visit to the company's UK headquarters about an hour from the BBC's central London office. It's in a bright, open sitting room just off Nestle's lobby that I met Gemma Gillingham, and she doesn't come alone. Hi, Max.
Not food, Max.
While it might be fun to have her 6-year-old Labrador cross with a whippet here, how does Max get on?
I've got a bed right by my desk and he lays there all day. And we go out for walks 3 times a day. If I've got a meeting, he tends to come with me or one of my team will look after him.
In order for dogs to participate in the Pets at Work program, they have to go through a roughly 3-month vetting process. But what about employees who aren't dog crazy? Louisa Haven, a communications manager at the company, never considered man's best friend her best friend. But she says working alongside the pups has actually helped her resolve a lifelong fear.
It's quite infectious. Everyone in Purina love having the dogs in the office. Everyone goes to say hello to the dog, not the person.
Dr. Kerry Westgarth, a research fellow at the University of Liverpool, studies the health impact of pet ownership.
Sitting at a desk all day in an office, which a lot of us do, is obviously not good for our health. The benefits can be great. And they called
it puppy love. Back at home, with his tendency to bark at just about everything and his infatuation with squeaky toys, it's clear my Ricardo probably isn't quite ready for the excitement of the BBC's vast London office. I guess that means more cuddles and one-on-one walks for me.
A dog's life. I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.